It is so good to welcome you on this May 12, 2024, and we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here within our building, all those that are listening on the website, and for all those that are already in glory awaiting us. And we just thank God for the heartbeat of a family, which is the heartbeat of a mother that God brings to us. And as I shared earlier, many, many of us prayed for the first time with our mothers. The first prayers we ever heard were from our mothers, and we just praise God for the greatest ministry in the world, and that of being a godly mother. So today we continue our study on the blood of righteous Abel that spoke to God from the ground. And today we want to see what in this first murderous act, what is below the surface, what forces were at work then, and why we're seeing these same forces at work on the 6 o'clock news today. So I'm going to read to you in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he murdered him, he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, he lied. He said, Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to look out for the welfare of my brother? Yes, we are to look out for the welfare of others. I'll show you a verse of scripture in a moment. And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's shed blood is crying unto me from the ground. Even though it has been absorbed into the ground, I have seen what you have done, as God sees all things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin. And Lord, I lay this out before you in confession when it's just me and you, and I want to thank you for that privilege. And Father, I pray to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your Spirit today. And Father, I pray that we will see the truth in these scriptures, the truth of your word, the truth of your prophecy, the truth of what we see in our lives, in our culture today, and in society throughout the world. And we know, Lord, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So, Father, I am preaching or teaching today from victory, not for victory. Victory is in the heart of the child of God. Victory is in the future of the child of God. But as we go through these culminations of evil today, these birth pangs within the world, Lord, let us recognize that God is good, and God is love, and God is grace, and God is mercy. And so we call on you today, the blesser of our families, the blesser of our lives, to guide us in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So today we are going to attempt to answer the question of why. We see why all the time. Why are these things going on? And I made this statement on several occasions. Never did I think I'd see all this in America. Never did I think I'd see all this when I entered the ministry. Never did I think I would see such things brought forth concerning a man and a woman and identities. Never did I think I'd see such things brought forth concerning marriage. Never did I think I'd see such things brought forth in hatred of genocide for the nation of Israel, calls for the death of America, the transformation of America, the destruction of America. Never did I think I'd see any of these things, but the reality is they are here. That is the reality. They are here. And so we need to understand the source, the purpose, the why. So in Genesis chapter 4, and I already read it to you, in verse 8, Cain slew his brother Abel, and then he lied about it. And so therein begins the great divide and the great conflict. It sets the stage 6,000 years ago for what you're seeing manifested today. So go to John chapter 8. I took you there a while back, and we'll go there again today. And I want you to see the source behind all of this, and I want you to understand that there are two movements, two powers that are clashing before our eyes. And in John chapter 8, verse 43, the scripture says this: "Why do you not understand my speech?" He speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees. Those religious leaders that are not of God, they are of the devil. Because you cannot hear my word. And I want you to understand, not all religious leaders are of the devil, even in the time of Jesus. Many scribes, many Pharisees, many did come to Jesus, but they didn't confess it because they would have been kicked out of the synagogue. But there was a group, there was a segment of this population of religious leaders that were of the devil. "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." So from the beginning, Cain murdered his brother, motivated by Satan, and then Cain lied about it to cover it up. And in verse 47, Jesus says this: "He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." And so Jesus draws this line in the sand, this great divide. You're either of God or you're not of God. There's no gray area. You're either of God or you're not of God. Now, go with me to 1 John chapter 3 and let's look at what it says about Cain. 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3 verse 11, the scripture says this: "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." I just want to say that right now. We should love one another. There ought to be people marching in the street saying, "I love Israel." There ought to be people marching in the street saying, "I love those Arab people that are innocent and they're under the bondage of Hamas." There ought to be people marching in the street saying, "You know, I love people that don't yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior." We are to love one another, and there should be the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, that we should love one another. And then he says this: "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother." What does that mean? Cain was of the devil. Cain was a murderer, and the motivation for the murder, the source of the murder, the power for the murder came from the devil himself. So 6,000 years ago, the first act of hatred, the first act of murder, and the first act of deceit was motivated not just from Cain's fallen human nature, but was motivated by the influence of Satan. So understand that. That's biblical. That's what the scripture says. It's not me. "Who was that of the wicked one and slew his brother? And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." So I want you to understand something, my friend. When the devil is motivating people to do evil things, he is also motivating them to hate the righteous. Amen. To hate the people that are of God. Just because you and I are not like that, and we can't relate to that, and Leo Doyle saying, "I never thought it'd be like this in America," does not mean this reality does not exist. So there are people that are going to hate you just because you're a child of God. There are people that are going to hate you just because you're of the lineage of the chosen nation of Israel. And I'll get to that point in a moment. But what I want you to understand, his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And so his works are evil. That is an apt description. He hates his brother. That's an apt description. And Satan is the source of his actions, his works, and the evil that is in his heart. In verse 13, he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." These evil forces are at work. But I want to back up to verse 10. And this is this great conflict, this great divide. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says this: In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil are manifest. So he said, with Cain and Abel, the children of the devil was manifest in Cain, and the children of God were manifest in Abel. And he says this, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, and you're not of God when you love not your brother or you hate your brother. So you're not of God. So when Hamas claims that they're of God, when Hezbollah claims that they're of God, when the Houthis claim that they're of God, they are of a false God. They are of a God of hatred, a God of murder. And folks say all the time, you know, radical Islam says they're going to kill the Jew first and then the Christian. Well, I want you to understand something. That's not all they say. They say they're going to kill the Jew first, then the Christian, then they're going to kill Muslims and Arabs that are as not, quote unquote, as devout as they are. They've been murdering other Arabs for the last 2,000 years. And you've got to understand that. And so all this hatred and all this that's spewing out on these college campuses, the Satan is the source. The children of God are manifest and the children of the devil are manifest. So what characterizes this? Go to John chapter 10. Go to John chapter 10, and if you've got this spirit in you, you know you're a child of God. If you've got this other spirit in you, you're a child of the devil. There is no neutral ground in spirituality. There is no neutral ground in humanity. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the scripture says this. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord is calling the devil, the thief here. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus, the Savior of the world, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, How are the children of the devil characterized? Well, they don't build up, they don't love, they don't want people to be blessed, they don't want to edify, they don't want to encourage. You know, I'm sitting here today, and I've said it many times, I want everybody to be blessed. I want everybody to have a good life. I want everybody to live out God's purpose in their life. You know, right now we're praying for a healthy grandchild to be born that is in Kylie's womb. And, you know, it's personal for Patty and I, for our daughter-in-law, for our son. But the bottom line is this. Every time I pray for the health of this baby, I'm praying, number one, for the day of salvation for this baby. Number two, for God's purpose and plan and God's will to be lived out in this child's life. And I want everybody to have that. I want everybody to experience the purpose God has for them, the blessings God has for them, the spouse God has for them, the life God has for them. But the devil, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy, he wants to steal, he wants to rob. And when you look at these college campuses and these peaceful demonstrations, these people are destroying things. These people are spewing out hate. These people are calling for the genocide of a group of people, and they don't even know these people personally. You've got to call it for what it is. It is hatred, it is satanic, and it is of the devil. Amen. And we need leaders in America that are going to do that. And you've got to understand that. And it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Go with me to John chapter 15. Go with me to John 15 and look what Jesus says. In John chapter 15, verse 17, Jesus says this, "These things I command you, that you love one another." That you love one another. Love is to flow out of the heart of the Christian. And in verse 18 it says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." There will be those that are going to hate you just because you're a child of God. I'm going to say it again. Just because you're a Christian. Just because you stand for biblical morals, biblical family. Just because you stand for life in the womb. Yeah, you know, just because you believe in goodness and love and kindness and those kind of things, they are going to hate you. Verse 19, if you are of the world will love you. They love their own, but because you are not of the world, but because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world has hated you. And if you come down to verse 25, it says, but this cometh to pass that might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now, is that not something? Jesus was hated and never sinned. Jesus was hated and he never did anything wrong to anybody. Jesus was hated without a cause. All he did was help people. All he did was heal people. All he did was love people. And as imperfect as I am, how am I not going to expect to be hated? You know, we've got to understand that. But Satan is the source of all this. Satan is the one that is behind all this evil and all this hatred, even without a cause. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 so that you recognize what's going on. Because when you look at these things, we have a tendency to get angry at these people. And I get angry at them because the devil uses these people. I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't trust them. We shouldn't be doormats. We shouldn't be pushed around by them. But I want you to understand what's behind them. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our real battle is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Dark powers, dark rulers of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what's he speaking of there? He's speaking of demonic activity. He's speaking of demonic activity in the air, in the atmosphere. If you believe there are angels up there that are looking out over you, if you believe what Jesus says, that every child has an angel that beholds their face and looks out for these innocent children, well, then you got to believe that fallen angels are up there. And when you read Daniel, you see that they were in battle, they were in conflict, and these people are coming under the inspiration and influence of demonic forces, and you're seeing it played out. They're come under the inspiration and influence of satanic forces. And this is what the Bible says. This is what you're up against. And spiritual wickedness in high places. And so in verse 11 we're told to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word means this. It means strategies of the devil. Crafty methods of the devil. But it also means this. It means the attacks of the devil. The devil is going to attack all Christians, all Israelites, because he's always done it. And I'm going to tell you why he's always done it in a moment. But that word actually means to lie in wait, to pounce on in an attack. To lie in wait, to pounce on in an attack. That's what that word means. It's a strategy by which a lion would hide behind a tree and plan out to attack a gazelle as it's going by, and he lunges out and he pounces on. It's called the crafty methods in the Greek translation. Now go to Psalm 83. Psalm 83, and let me show you what's happening to the nation of Israel, what has happened to the nation of Israel. And I want you to get this as simply as you can get it, because the world wants to complicate it. We got a press secretary now that cannot answer any questions. She has to refer you here and refer you there and refer you here. And nobody in America gets any answers anymore. Nobody gets any answers anymore. And all we get are lies. And you know, and I'm not going to back down. I had someone in Charleston recently tell me, they say, we listen to you every week. Some of us get together and we talk and we say, hey, did you hear Leo last week? And they'll say, yeah. And these guys go back with me 100 years. And they say, man, we worry about you. You know, the things you're saying, you know, they're going to get you. And we worry about you. Well, I want you to understand something. I never think about any of that stuff. Because there's nothing to think about. God will take care of me. God's going to watch out over us. But somebody's got to say something. And we cannot back down. You cannot back down in religion. You cannot back down in the Word of God. And you cannot back down in the truth. And I don't know what's being preached down the road today, and I don't know what's being preached in Tennessee or throughout the Southeast, but somebody better stand up for the truth, stand up for the nation of Israel, stand up for the Christians in America, and stand up for the United States of America. These people want to destroy this country. And you need to understand this. In Psalm 83, verse 2, the scripture says this, "For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people Israel, and consulted against thy hidden ones. And they have said, Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Look at what that says. They have made crafty counsel, verse 3. They have come up with plans to destroy the nation of Israel, that it be no more in remembrance. They have wanted, what happened on October 7th? Hamas pounced on the nation of Israel. Hamas attacked the nation of Israel, unprovoked, totally unprovoked. And their goal is the total eradication of Israel. They hate them with a satanic hatred. And we've got people in America, political leaders, calling for a ceasefire. I want you to understand something. There are only two stands to take concerning this. Number one, the President of the United States needs to call for the unconditional, absolute surrender of Hamas. The unconditional, absolute surrender of Hamas and the return of all hostages, including American hostages. There's no mealy mouse about the, oh, we want to surrender. We're not going to send any more bombs if they, you know, we're not going to. These pipsqueaks are dealing with the God of the universe and His chosen people. I would not be saved today if it were not for Messiah being born through the nation of Israel. And so we've got to understand that. And the bottom line is that a ceasefire to people that want to eradicate you, what do you think they're going to do in a ceasefire? They're going to rearm. They're going to re-strategize. They're going to regroup. They must be eliminated. The entire bunch must be eliminated. And we've got to understand that. We have no understanding. They have no understanding of the enemy. They have no understanding of these people. They have no morals, no decency, no humanity, no value of life. They have, I'm not even going to tell you what films they have. They film themselves doing these atrocious things. You know, babies were taken, newborns, and put in ovens, and the mother was held there as they baked. This was shown to all our congressmen, all our congresswomen. And you've got that squad up there marching for Hamas. They saw it. Now, you're telling me those four women are not evil? Those four women are evil. And there are other evil ones up there. And you've got to understand, Satan has got his people in places of authority. In the United States government. All over the world. And we've got to understand that. We've got to stand up. We've got to speak. And you know, and what freaks me out, you got these people on these college campuses, and you know, and I'll probably say it wrong, hijab, you know, they're wearing these head coverings and all this stuff. And you know, you got American college girls wearing these things, and they're holding up the Palestinian flag. You know what that head covering stands for? I looked it up. It stands for oppression, restriction, and bondage under Sharia law. You know, do they not understand that? It means you don't go to the bathroom unless your Arab husband tells you you can go to the bathroom. You know, if they want to stand for Palestine, move over there to Gaza, marry one of those sheriffs, and see just how good your Ivy League's life is then. You know, quit marching holding a flag. Do what American Israelis did. They flew into Israel. They joined the IDF. They got an AK-47. They went to war. If you believe in something, you little punks and peonies. Go over there and do something. Don't be destroying American college campuses. Don't be calling for the destruction of this great country that's given you every opportunity in the world. And that president needs to stand up and say something against all that's going on. And the governor of Tennessee does. Where's Lee at and all this? I mean, just come on out and make a statement. You know, that you condemn all this stuff. Go with me to Ezekiel 35. I want to show you what's behind this stuff. In Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 5, the scripture says this. This is what's going on. Now this is God prophesying against Edom. Edom means red, all right? Edom's the Hebrew word for red. It's all the descendants of Esau. And symbolically in the Bible, it's all in the Arab bloodline that hate Israel and stand against Israel. I'll read it better out of my notes. Edom represents all the God-hating, God-opposing powers against Israel that have a bitter hatred. It represents all their enemies in all ages that come from the Ishmael-Esau bloodline. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Not all Arabs hate Israel. You know, there are many Christians that have been born again in Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, all throughout the Middle East. So I'm not condemning an entire race. I'm just saying there are segments of this population in the false religion of Islam that are used by Satan to attack Israel and Christianity. No one is beyond salvation. Let me say that also. If Saul got saved and became Paul, anybody can be saved and become Paul. So don't lose that in my rhetoric. You know, don't lose that in my delivery. Don't lose that in the points that I'm making. Because I can come back and say that. And I'm saying it right now. God wants every man to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. That's what the scripture says. So you don't give up. And there have been terrorists that have been saved. Much of the information we get is from terrorists who have come to Jesus Christ. And you'll see these people interviewed and you'll see what they share. And there are a lot of women who have been delivered by God out of these horrific situations in the Middle East. And we get firsthand accounts from them. So God is able to save anyone. So I want you to understand it. But there is a group in Ezekiel 35 verse 5. It says this. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred for the nation of Israel. You know, a lot of the K through 6, I'll say, though it's not called that in the Middle East, they're indoctrinated to hate Israel. But now I will say this, after October 7th, I saw a Jewish man interviewed, and very wealthy Israelite, and he had founded a school for Arabs and Jewish children. And the school's been operating for 10 years. And in that school, both Arab children and Jewish children were being brought together. They were being taught Arabic and Hebrew, and they were being taught to love one another. So these things are happening too, but that came to a crash and halt. And you know, Satan sees this kind of stuff, and he wants to stop it, and I'll tell you why in a moment. In Ezekiel 35, verse 5, it says this, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. And therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood. So God's going to come back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you don't want to be on the wrong side. But that word in the Hebrew, perpetual, is olam, O-L-A-M, and it spans time. It looks backward and forward. It means in the basis form, continual, 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 never ends, and it always has been. So what they're saying, this goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it goes all the way back to Ishmael, it goes all the way back to Esau, and it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. And so you say, why in the world is this going on, Brother Leo? Why is it that there's this great hatred of Israel. Why is it that there is this great hatred between Cain and Abel? Well, go with me to Revelation chapter 12. And in Revelation chapter 12, you get a composite summary of the history of Satan hating Israel. And I'm going to tell you why, and this is going to show you why. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it says this. It says, "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." Now, that great red dragon is the devil. Go to verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, which is Satan." Okay? So the great red dragon is Satan. That's the devil. And in verse 4, it says, "When he was cast out of heaven, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman." Now, who's the woman? The woman is the nation of Israel. How do you know that, Brother Leo? "Which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Well, who was her child? Her child was Jesus, Messiah. Well, how do you know that, Brother Leo? Well, that's verse 5. "And she brought forth a man-child," that's Jesus, "who was to rule over all the nations, as Lord of lords, King of kings, with a rod of iron." Here we are in Psalm 2. "And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." That's the ascension of Jesus. And the woman was persecuted, Israel, and fled into the wilderness. So, go back to verse 4. "The dragon stood before the earth," before the woman, Israel. You say, "Oh, I thought the woman was the church." The woman's not the church. The church didn't birth Jesus. Israel birthed Jesus. The church didn't bring Jesus into the world. Israel brought Jesus into the world. Jesus brought the church into the world. You know, it's enough to battle these maniacs, satanic maniacs on the college campuses, but you got 80% of religion that's teaching everything backwards. So understand that. Now, look at what it says. "She brought forth this child, Jesus, Messiah, who is going to rule all the nations of the world." So we've got this hatred of the nation of Israel. What I want you to understand in that, you know, the question is why? Why did Cain kill Abel? Well, we saw that Cain represented the devil. Abel represented God, the righteous one. Now, go back to Genesis 4 and let me show you what happened. I tell you what, just bump back to Genesis 3. In the Garden of Eden, after Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and God has to pronounce the curse, he makes this promise in Genesis 3:15, and he says this to the devil. He says, "Devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise or bash your head, but you're going to bruise his heel." So Satan knows at this point that there's going to be a godly seed that's going to come into the world. That Messiah, a man-child, is going to be born. So he wants to stop that godly line. And so righteous Abel in Genesis chapter 4, the devil puts in Cain's mind and in Cain's motivation to kill Abel. And what he's doing is he's trying to stop the godly seed. But then when you come down to verse 25, it says this, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." And notice what happens. "And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord in worship and in prayer. So you see this godly line reestablished. It's like the devil came into Judas to stop God's plan. And he had the crucifixion where he thought he killed Christ and got rid of him. But then he rose from the dead. So why does Satan hate Israel? What is he trying to do? Why did Satan move on Cain to kill Abel? Because he hates God's plan for humanity. And he's trying to stop God's plan for humanity. What is God's plan for humanity? It is redemption and it's salvation. So the battle is for humanity. The battle is for man's souls. So why does he hate the nation of Israel? Because the nation of Israel is huge in God's plan for humanity. It was through God's chosen. God chose the name. They didn't earn it. It was by grace. He just said, I'm going to choose a nation of people. I'm going to choose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to continue this line from Enos to Noah to Shem. I'm going to continue it on out. And I'm going to bring Messiah into the world through Mary and through that lineage. And the Israelites are going to bring Messiah, Savior of the world, into the world. And so Satan hates Israel because Israel's part of God's plan. Well, once they rejected Christ, wasn't God done with them? Well, I'll tell you one thing. No, he was not done with them. Paul said, don't boast against Israel. I pray for the day all Israel gets saved. And God's, I want you to understand this. If God was done with Israel, Satan would be done with Israel. Satan still hates Israel because Satan knows God has a plan for Israel. And in the end, he's going to be bound and Jesus is going to rule the world from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so you've got to understand, Satan hates Israel. Satan hates Christians. Because Satan hates everything that is of God. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and I'll show you that phrase. Satan hates everything that is against God. That stands for God. You're going to have to give me a minute. My pages will stick. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to grab one phrase. Verse 4. And it says this, that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped as God. So what I want you to understand, Satan opposes and is against everything that is of God. So that's why Satan hates Israel. That's why Satan hates Christianity. That's why Satan hates the true church. That's why Satan came against Adam and Eve. That's why Satan came against Abel. That's why Satan comes against Israel, genuine born-again believers. Satan comes against biblical morals. Satan comes against prayer in the school. Satan comes against traditional family marriage. Satan comes against a man being a man and a woman being a woman. Satan comes against the truth of the Word of God. Satan comes against the land staying together. He wants the land divided. He wants weapons withheld from Israel. He wants Israel brought before the United States. Did you hear that this week? The president thinks Israel needs to be investigated for violations of the UN concerning war. Well, why hadn't Hamas been investigated? You're going to investigate Israel? Are you kidding me? This is how backwards truth is turned in the street. This is how ludicrous it is. And I just want you to understand one more thing, and I'm going to share it with you in context. Why are things so ramped up? Why are things so evil? Go with me to Revelation chapter 12 again. And let me, this is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. We will be raptured out at this point, the church. But in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, it says this, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time left." Now, in context, this is during the last 3.5 years. I know people apply it to these ages today, though it's not applicable context-wise, but I do want you to understand, there is an intensity of a ramped-up hatred and evil and destruction and deceit and immorality and riotousness and chaos and murder and genocide that is going on all over the world in a way it never has before. And you need to understand these are the times in which you're living. But I've got a huge bud here today. Go to 1 John chapter 4 as we close. And this is what we hold on to, because as I told you, the great divide are those that are of God and those that are of the devil. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. We are of God. And so this is what the scripture says. So what are we to do, Brother Leo? Well, we're to do what I just did today. Stand for the truth. You know, take a stand. Do something. Say something. Put something on. You know, I'm not in social media. I can't even spell it. Put something on Facebook. Put something in there. Take a stand for Israel. Say the truth. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them, pats them on the back, approves of them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We are of God. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we know the spirit of truth. And we know the spirit of deceit and error. Go to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 4, it says this, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that has committedly believed and placed his life in the hands of Jesus Christ, the Son of God?" So as I said today in the beginning, we are standing on victory. Victory that Christ has already won for us. And I want to say something personally. We have people that listen to this website. We have people that come and all these things. I want you to understand there are two things Satan wants to do to you on an individual basis. Number one, he wants to keep you from being saved. Satan doesn't want anybody saved. It's a battle for souls. Hell hath enlarged herself. That's all he's got left. So if you're out there and you've never been saved, I want you to understand the devil wants to keep you from hearing the truth and being saved. Coming to Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life. And the second thing, if you are born again, Satan wants to keep you out of Jesus' will for your life, God's will for your life. He wants you out of God's will. He doesn't want you living in God's will. So there are going to be temptations and distractions and things to draw you out of God's will. And you are the only person. Paul said, examine yourself. You're the only person that knows whether you have come to a place in your life where you've given your life to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Brother Leo, I'm not sure I want to do that. Well, that's fine. You know, God will be patient with you and God will wait. And there are many people that never do that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not an idiot. You know, I'm not a deplorable. I'm not uneducated, as was said a few weeks ago by a former presidential candidate. She looked in the camera and she said, "I believe this one political movement has such a strong bearing because most of these people don't have money, most of these people aren't educated, and they're all jealous of people like us who have money and are educated." Well, let me tell you something. I am educated and I do have a degree of money. And so what I want you to understand is, I follow Jesus Christ because there's no way in my life that I would want to just depend on myself to make it through this life. I need God's wisdom. I need God's guidance. I need God's counsel. I need God's strength to hold me up. And I want you to understand something, and I hope you read it in the paper. You know, we're looking at all this stuff all over the world. My dear brother here, he had to handle a case here a couple of weeks ago. One of the most horrific, murderous, debacle, satanic crimes you could imagine. Right here in Wayne County. Right here in Wayne County. It was right there on the front page of the newspaper. If you read it, no details were given, and they couldn't be given. So if you don't think evil lives in Wayne County, evil lives in Wayne County. Evil lives all over the world. But I'm going to tell you one thing, God is here. God is here in your heart. God is here in my heart. And greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. And we don't have to back down. We don't have to back down from anybody. You know, you might have an agreement in your family where you say, hey, we don't talk religion and politics. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep that agreement. And hopefully you can keep meeting with one another. But the bottom line is this. It usually doesn't go that way. The other side's going to bring something up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When the other side brings something up, I don't back down. It doesn't matter to me. Jesus told me, you got to love me more than brother and father. You got to love me more than mother and sister. You got to love me more than cousin and second cousin and all that stuff. You know, some gets brought up. They better be able to back it up. So in the last 4 or 5 years, nothing gets brought up around me. You know, because they're parroting what they're hearing. I'm speaking to you verses from the Bible, which is the truth of God. And everybody in this room can do that. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to pray one simple prayer today, and that's this. The bottom line is this. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And you thank Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going to face in this life and whatever you're facing now, you have victory in Christ Jesus. Would you take a few moments and just focus on your victory in the Lord.